Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Locker Room. I'm your host, Tommy Tellerino, and today we have a special episode for you. It's just me today. Zach is, our plans fell through for recording this week. Jordan couldn't make it, so it's just me. So today I'm just going to give you my thoughts on the Thursday night game, you know, maybe some Sunday picks, some fantasy football help. We'll take a look over and the baseball playoffs just started too. So I'm going to jump right into it. First thing on tap, Thursday night recap. Man, what another thriller. Rams, Seahawks, another great divisional game. Rams outlasting the Seahawks on this one, 26-17. But the big thing that came across this game was Russell Wilson dislocated his finger and could be out to a month to 2 months. That is huge for the Seahawks. This is your only playmaker who is keeping you in these games. And now you go from Russell Wilson to Geno Smith. Not good at all for the Seahawks. As for the Rams, you know, they look dominant as usual, making a strong case for Super Bowl MVP or Super Bowl team. I don't know, but it's a little too early, but they're making a strong case for a playoff team in the NFC. Overall, good game by the Rams. You know, Stafford, 365 yards, 25 to 37, one touchdown, one interception. You kind of want to see a little bit more touchdowns out of them. You know, you do have Cooper Kupp, Woods, and they had Daryl Henderson's in the passing game now. Have Higbee. They're using DeSean Jackson. So I think next couple weeks you might see a little bit more touchdown production from him. But for the Rams receiving core, pretty good night. You know, Woods was the guy tonight, 12 catches, or Woods was the guy Thursday night, 12 catches, 150 yards. Kupp, 7 catches, 92 yards. And Daryl Henderson, 82 rushing yards and a touchdown. And he looked like he was going to be hurt again. Fantasy owners, it is okay. He came back from the game. And he dominated. He's been a really good running back so far for the Rams. We thought that him and Sony Michel would split carries, but when Henderson's healthy, he is the man. And basically, the defense was able to get to Seattle. You know, they caused two turnovers, and what really helped them was Geno Smith came into the game, and on his last drive to mount a comeback, he threw an interception. You know, not what you want out of for Seattle. It's hard for them to get things going now. 2-3. I can't remember the last time Seattle was below 500 going into week 6. This is not a good look for them, but let's get into some of the stats for the Seahawks. You know, Russell Wilson, he was 11 for 16, 152 yards, 9.5 average throw, one touchdown, one interception. 11.6 average intended yards, 68.8 completions percentage, 93.8 passer rating. You know, he played like his typical self in a divisional game where he keeps you in the game no matter what. It looked like, you know, yeah, Seahawks are down right now, but just wait till the fourth quarter and Russell Wilson's going to be there. But that wasn't the case Thursday night. You know, he goes out with the dislocated finger. He hit it off one of the helmets of a Rams defensive lineman. I can't remember which one. But, you know, Geno Smith, he did have a good drive. He came in overall on the night, 10 for 17, 131 yards, 7.7 average throw, one touchdown, one interception, 10 intended yards a throw, 58.8 completions percentage, 78.3 passer rating. You know, he came out strong. He had a 98-yard drive, which I was not I was not expecting that. You know, he came in and he drove his team down the field, hooked up with Metcalf to end it. And then the next drive, he led them to a field goal. But then again, he threw a pick. The Rams really clinched right there. And then for Seattle's receiving, you know, Metcalf was the guy tonight. It's either him or Lockett usually. You know, Metcalf 5 for 98 yards, 2 tutties, 19.6 average yards a catch, 4.3 yak yards, 3.1 yards of separation. You know, he's the big-time guy for Seattle tonight. Can be him or Lockett any given game. just depends on how the defense schemes around him. And then Tyler Lockett, you know, five for 57 yards, no touchdowns, 11.4 average catch, 0.7 yak yards, which you really want more than that. He's not even getting 1 yard after he catches the ball, which is not good for receivers. 3 yards of separation. He did have 10 targets, though, and there was a big play where it could have resulted in a big touchdown, but a pass interference knocked him down, and ultimately there goes his big play touchdown. This is really the first game where he was shut down compared to what he's done in the past. And honestly, with Geno Smith coming in, I don't know how many more big games Tyler Lockett's going to have. Other than these two Seattle receivers, no one broke over 35 yards in the passing game or the receiving game. Seven other guys had catches, but honestly, it was just who's getting this one pass, really. And then over in the rushing game, you know, Chris Carson's out. He's dealing with a neck injury, which that sucks for Seattle too. You know, if Russell Wilson's going to be out, you're going to want your starting running back back. But for them, Alex Collins came in, you know, 15 carries, 47 yards, 3.1 average carry per yard. You know, that's pretty good for what the Seattle line is and the defense they were given. I feel like if the game script was a little bit closer, you never know. We might have seen a little bit more production out of him. But overall, you know, he did what he needed to do. You know, 3.1 average carry with that Seattle line, that's pretty good. And then some defensive stats for Seattle. Jordan Brooks had 11 tackles on the night, 5 solo tackles, 1 for a loss. And as a whole, the defense had 1 sack, 6 tackles for a loss, 4 pass deflections, and 3 QB hits. And honestly, I'm not impressed with this defensive leaders with Bobby Wagner and Jamal Adams. They really need to step up as soon as possible now that Russell Wilson is out. You know, Jamal Adams has came in to Seattle and he hasn't done much, in my opinion. Jamal Adams threw a stink with the Jets, saying, "I don't want to be here, trade me." They trade him and he goes to Seattle and he's not doing much there. You know, for someone who's being paid for what he is, I want to say he only had 5 tackles on the night. 5 tackles for quote-unquote one of the best safeties in the game, 1 tackle for a loss, no interceptions, no sacks, no QB hits. And as for Bobby Wagner, he only had 4 tackles on the night, 1 solo tackle, and honestly, he's supposed to be the defensive anchor on the team. I feel like you got to at least try to get to the quarterback, and they only had 1 sack on the night on 3 QB hits. They got to step up if they're even going to come close in some of these games with Russell Wilson out. And, you know, DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, they lose their quarterback. Where does this leave them now? This next month is going to be a rough one for them, I think. You know, Geno Smith is not Russell Wilson. It's a huge downgrade. We've seen how Geno Smith plays, and it is not good. I don't expect this team to be able to throw the deep ball. Maybe they'll have some short passing games. I don't see them thriving in the receiving game. And for Woods and Kupp, you know, it was Woods' night, but Kupp is still strong. You never want to count him out. Matthew Stafford is looking amazing when he has receivers. He's revived DeSean Jackson, too, along the way. DeSean Jackson was an afterthought the past couple years, and now he is a deep threat monster at his age. Incredible job by the Rams so far, you know, making a strong case for an NFC championship appearance. I know they got blown out by Arizona, but you never know of divisional games. And for the Seahawks, you better hope Chris Carson comes back soon. You know, he's not one of your top tier running backs in the league, but he gets the job done, and it'll help with Geno Smith. If Geno Smith can get the check down to Chris Carson, it'll make his life a lot easier there in Seattle. And so for the next month, the Seahawks have to face Steelers, Saints, Jags, and Packers. At least a month they're out with Russell Wilson. So after that, we'll see where they stand. But if you're the Seahawks, you're looking to go 2-2 in this month. You know, I don't see him beating the Saints. and I don't see him beating the Packers. The Packers are just too strong on both sides compared to Seahawks, which is shocking because Packers don't have a great run defense, and they have holes in the passing defense now of Alexander out. You know, Jags, you know, hopefully Urban Meyer's still the coach when you face them. You never know. They are just looking awful. And the Saints, you know, Sean Payton has schemed very well so far this season. And Steelers, you better hope that this offense looks as bad as it did earlier in the season. You know, they looked okay against Green Bay at times, but, man, Seahawks, you're looking bad on both sides of the ball right now. It's going to be a rough couple months for you without Russell Wilson. As for the Rams, they get the Giants next week. This should be an easy win for them. But you never know. The Giants did shock the world and beat New Orleans. And Danny Dimes did have a good game. Saquon, not really good in the rushing game so far, but he did catch the touchdown. But I think the Rams are going to get him next week. You never know, though. And before we go on to Sunday picks, here's some NFC awards and AFC awards. You know, these guys really stood out compared to the rest. And for me, I will start with the AFC. You know, the offensive player of the week for me was Tyreek Hill, 11 catches, 168 yards, 3 touchdowns. It was a prove it week for him. You know, he came off 2 terrible weeks against pretty good defenses so far, but he needed this game to get back on track. Defensive player of the week, Tremaine Edmonds, 5 tackles, an interception, helped that shutout against Houston. Pretty self-explanatory there. And then AFC, rookie of the week, I got Mac Jones, the Mac attack, 19 straight completions, showed up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Big game for him. Ultimately, though, they did not come away with a win. It is what it is, though. He looked good against Tampa Bay. And for the NFC, my NFC Offensive Player of the Week is actually Saquon Barkley. You know, he had 5 for 74 yards in the receiving game, 52 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns, and an overtime winning touchdown, too. Can't ask for a better game out of him right there. And my Defensive Player of the Week was Trayvon Diggs, man. 2 interceptions on the day for him against Carolina. 5 on the year so far. This guy has been a monster. He locked down Devonta Smith last game. You know, DJ Moore was able to get more yards against him, but he was able to lock down the other Carolina receivers. And ultimately, he's looking like a good corner. You know, last year there were some doubts like, hey, Diggs is getting burned a lot in the slot. What are we going to do? I mean, that's your second-round pick right there. But he has turned it around and said, no, I got this. Great job so far in the year, Diggs. And my rookie of the week for NFC was actually Devonta Smith. You know, he had a bounce back week, 7 catches, 122 yards. Can't ask for anything more right there. And my teams of the week, I forgot to say one for the AFC, but it is the Buffalo Bills. You know, they came out and they just dominated Houston as expected, but no one expects a shutout like that. And for the NFC, it's the only undefeated team remaining, the Cardinals. They showed up against the Rams, and they kicked butt in that divisional game. That's all I'm going to say about that, really. That's the best way to describe it. And for some Sunday picks, you know, this could end up being a good week. We got a lot of great games on tap. You never know what's going to happen. First game I got is Patriots and Texans. You know, it hurts saying this, but I don't see the Patriots winning this week. Patriots are going to be down most likely 4 starting linemen in a game where you're going to need some offensive line because that Texans defense has played well in the past, such as Carolina and Jacksonville. When you're down 4 out of your 5 linemen, it's tough. They're not going to be able to win the trenches. You better hope that your defense steps up and maybe you squeak out a win. Next game on tap, Lions and Vikings. 2 key matchups in this game, the Lions O-line versus the Vikings D-line, and then the Vikings wide receivers versus the Lions secondary. Vikings being able to stop the run and put consistent pressure on quarterbacks is what Mike Zimmer's defense has been all about there in Minnesota. And they've done a great job, even though last week it did not look good. They've done a great job so far in the season, and I expect them to do it again because this Lions offensive line is going to miss their rookie, Penei Sewell, who I want to say is definitely out. It might be questionable still. I don't know. But the Lions secondary is also awful due to injuries and experience. Jeff Okuda out for the year. And they've had to convert safeties over to corners, and it's just not good. And with the Vikings having Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson and Osborne now coming on, it's not going to be a good game for the Lions. I hate to say it because I'm a fan of Dan Campbell. I like what his methods in Detroit, but maybe this is not your week for your first win. And then Bills Chiefs, this is the Sunday night game this week. This could be a great game. You know, we saw these two face off in the AFC Championship game last year. Chiefs ultimately won that one, but it was a good game. It was close. And we could be seeing the Bills winning this one in the regular season. So with the Chiefs, ultimately, their defense has not looked good at all. They're going to need their offense to carry them to get through this one. But if the Bills are going to win, they're going to need some help on the ground, and they can't be a one-dimensional offense. Chiefs will be able to figure that out and lock some stuff down. But they got to get Zach Moss and Devin Singletary going in the run game. I know they've been able to do it against Miami and Houston, but this is a big task compared to that. You know, same with this Bills defense. You know, we've said that they've been great so far this year. Yeah, they shut out two teams, but it was Miami with Jacoby Brissett and Houston with a rookie quarterback. This was their first big matchup of the year, and it's their real test. Yeah, they look good, but it's bottom-of-the-barrel offenses. And then one more thing for Kansas City and Buffalo, you know, you're going to have to find your playmakers in Kelce and Hill. You're going to have to do it. You're going to have to rely on them, and you're going to have to try to get that run game going through the air. You know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire has had a touchdown in each game, but try to get him more involved in the passing game, I believe, and they could win this one. Ultimately, though, I don't see Kansas City falling below 500 again this early. I think Kansas City's out for some blood, and I do think they're going to win this one. It's going to be a close one. I think it's going to be within a field goal. Another game in London. Yes, I'm sorry, London. The first game of the year is Jets-Falcons. On my behalf, I am sorry to all the London fans. But I will say, you know, last week I did go to the Jets game, and it was a game to go to. It was great. You know, Zach Wilson had some big plays. That Jets defense stepped up, sacked Tannehill 7 times. They go to overtime, hit a field goal, and then ultimately Tennessee cannot match the field goal to tie the game. You know, this Jets defense is nothing to mess around with. They're better than people think. Zach Wilson's been up and down. I get that. I don't know how well he's going to do in this game. But this Jets defense against this Atlanta O-line, Matt Ryan could be in for a long day, especially without Calvin Ridley. This Jets defense might cause havoc, and I have the Jets winning this one. Next game, Eagles-Panthers. You know, Carolina's coming off their first loss of the season. They're looking for some revenge. You know, they played well against Dallas. Sam Darnold, he threw the ball well, and he ran in for 2 touchdowns. He's doing great so far in the year, reviving his career after his mishaps with New York. But ultimately, I don't see the Eagles stopping them on both sides of the ball. You know, Jalen Hurts has shown flashes, but I think this Carolina defense is going to be tough. I don't know newly acquired corner Stephon Gilmore. I don't know if he's playing or not, but once you get him in there, this Carolina team is going to be scary. I got Carolina winning this one too. Another great game is Browns and Chargers. This could be a future playoff game. You never know. Cleveland Browns versus LA Chargers, key matchup. Browns D versus Chargers O. That pass rush in Cleveland is no joke. Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney. They got the Chicago's quarterback, Justin Fields, a lot. And they also shut down Minnesota, only holding them to a touchdown. So great job so far on Cleveland's defense. If they get to Herbert, this could be a big game for Cleveland. You know, Herbert hasn't really faced that much of a pass rush. We saw Dallas kind of get to him in the second half. He was still able to throw the ball well. I think he threw over 300 yards that game. But for the Browns to win this one, they're going to have to ground and pound and keep LA off the field, or their offense off the field. Get Chubb involved as much as you can, and Kareem Hunt. You know, they just, I just read today, Baker Mayfield, he has a partially torn pectoral muscle, I want to say, on his non-throwing arm. And he's missing some receivers with Landry. You know, he doesn't have the best relationship with Odell in the passing game. I expect Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb to have a great game so far. And if LA wants to win, they're going to have to protect Herbert and give him some time to get the ball to some of these playmakers. You know, Mike Williams was MIA last week. Don't even get me going on that. You know, one catch on the night. You're going to have to get him involved if you want to win. So far on the year, besides the Raiders game, he has been in there as one of the best receivers so far. And he was just non-existent. You know, if the Chargers are going to win this one, they need him and Allen making some plays for Herbert. Ultimately, though, I do think this Cleveland defense might be too much, and I have the Browns winning this one. Close game, though. Another game, Packers-Bengals. You know, Packers are dealing with a lot of injuries right now. As I said, Jair Alexander is out, who might be going to IR. He's got a shoulder injury. Za'Darius Smith is also out. That's not good. They just picked up Jalen Smith off of waivers. You know, that was a shocking release by the Cowboys. That's going to help with a linebacker play, but he's not playing this week. So good thing they are facing a Bengals team, which their defense has not caused a lot of turnovers and has not looked great so far this year. It's going to be a battle of the trenches, and it's also going to be a battle in the quarterback play. And I do have both these quarterbacks performing well. I think Joe Burrow could find his core receivers and have a good game. I just have Rodgers being that guy and leading his team down another game-winning drive. We've seen it so many times. It's inevitable. As Stephen A. Smith would say, he's a bad man. That's all you can say, really. Next game, Titans-Jaguars. You will see Derrick Henry go off this week, folks. And Titans get their wide receivers back with Julio and A.J., and the Jags might be looking for a new coach after this week. Derrick Henry always shows up against the Jags. He has not one, but two 99-yard touchdowns against him, or 98. I can't remember off the top of my head. But this team is going to dominate Jacksonville. Coming off a loss against New York, they are out for some blood, and Derrick Henry is pissed off. Broncos, Steelers. You know, Broncos are banged up on the offensive side of the ball. Teddy Two Gloves might be out. This is huge because Drew Lock did not look good when he came in. And if Drew Lock's got to face his Pittsburgh defense, he could be in for a real struggle. You know, Steelers could steal one at home, but that Broncos defense is above average, and they can make a tough time for Big Ben. We've seen that Big Ben is no longer himself there in Pittsburgh. Age has caught up to him. He's not the guy anymore. He can't move the ball downfield. Same with their run game. Their run game is non-existent. They got to get some help there. Najee Harris, he's doing good in the passing game. Terrible run game so far for Pittsburgh. I don't see this offense being able to go through this Broncos defense. But with that said, I don't think Drew Lock's going to do that great either. So if Teddy Two Glove is playing, I have the Broncos winning this one. If Drew Lock is playing, I have the Steelers winning this one. I think the Broncos QB play is really what matters here. You know, Teddy has played great so far. You know, Broncos are coming off their first true test of the season and did not look good. They want to amp things up, and this could be the game to do it if Teddy is playing. Another game, Dolphins-Buccaneers, you know. Yeah, Buccaneers have holes in that defense in the passing game, but with Jacoby Brissett under center, it doesn't really matter. That Bucs defense is way too strong. They're going to be able to stop the run no matter what. And, you know, Miami's receivers haven't looked that great, even with Tua. And that Bucs offensive playmakers, yeah, going to be out with Gronk, but you got Antonio Brown to worry about, Godwin, Mike Evans. And now you got Leonard Fournette worrying about, and Giovanni Bernard, Ronald Jones. That offense, it just has too many weapons. I got to take the Bucs in this one. Next game, Saints versus the Washington football team. You know, the Washington football defense has not looked good at all this season compared to what we thought it was going to be. Their rushing game or their rush defense has not looked good. And this could be a long game for them if Jameis Winston plays well and if Sean Payton does a right scheme. We've seen Sean Payton destroy Green Bay, and then we see them get destroyed by Carolina. And then we see him destroy New England, and now they lose to the New York Giants. It's flip and flop. You know, you don't know which team's going to show up for the Saints, but I do think this defense is going to be too strong for the Washington football team, and I do think Alvin Kamara is going to have a great game. With that said, I got to go with the Saints on this one. And then we got a matchup of two good defenses so far in the Chicago Bears versus the Las Vegas Raiders. As I said, both teams got a good defense overall. But my key thing is here, how is Matt Nagy going to game plan? Are we going to see something like the Cleveland Browns game where Justin Fields had 47 yards passing? He had net yards of 1 yards for passing and 47 total yards. Or are we going to see something with a Lions game? You just don't know. And I do think this Raiders defense is going to get to them. You know, there's some injuries in Chicago with David Montgomery out now. Offensive line's a little bit banged up. This could be a bad game for Chicago. Raiders are coming off their first loss, and they're at home. I got Raiders winning this one. 49ers and the Arizona Cardinals. Another NFC West divisional game this week. You know, many factors come in this game that make me want to lean towards Arizona. The offense is on fire. San Fran, you don't know if Trey Lance or Jimmy G is going to start. Either way, I don't think it's going to matter. But I don't know if Arizona can keep this up with a target on their back. You know, they're the only team undefeated. That brings a lot of pressure, and teams are going to be gunning for you now. Do I think they're going to be able to beat the 49ers? Yes, but the next upcoming weeks, I think they're going to be in for some tough games. I do think this 49ers game could be a tough game. You know, that 49ers pass rush is no joke. We've seen the holes in the pass defense, but their linebacker in front seven is also great. You know, Nick Bosa's healthy. Fred Warner's still there. You know, I do think these 49er defensive playmakers could have a big game. But Cardinals do have a lot of weapons in the passing game with DeAndre Hopkins, Christian Kirk, Rondell Moore, AJ Green. Those four receivers right there, those are key. I just think Kyler Murray is going to hook up with any of them, and it's going to lead to a win for Arizona. Two more games left on the week. Colts and Ravens. This is the Monday night game. You know, both teams are a little bit banged up. You know, Colts, that defense has had holes, but their linebacker play has looked good. The offense has been up and down. You know, Carson Wentz hasn't looked great. He's looked terrible at times. You don't know which Carson Wentz is going to show up. In their run defense for the Baltimore Ravens is still outstanding. Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines may be in for a rough game. But Baltimore has a lot of momentum coming into this game so far. You know, Baltimore beat Kansas City. They're coming off an amazing kick to beat Detroit. They're coming off a great game against Denver. They're playing great football. And with all the injuries they've had, I credit Harbaugh for leading this team and getting some wins. I have them winning again here. I just think their momentum's too strong for the Colts to stop. And the last game on tap, we have Cowboys versus Giants. Some factors to look for in this game is this is the Giants' third road game in 4 weeks. This team is tired. They need to get home quickly. And for the Cowboys, this is their third straight home game. They're well-rested. And another thing you got to look at, they have a two-dimensional offense now. They just ran right over the number one ranked defense for rushing. Ezekiel Elliott, I want to say, had 140-something yards on 20 carries. That's amazing. And that's not even including what Pollard had. Their offense looks outstanding so far on the year. And they can hit you in the passing game too. They got Cooper. They got CeeDee. Gallup's out right now. Here comes Cedric Wilson. Here comes Dalton Schultz. Here comes Blake Jarwin. All these guys could have big games, really. I just think this is too much to handle for the New York Giants. Dallas are going to win this one. And just like that, those are all the Sunday picks. Let's see. We'll come back next week and see how I did. Let's move on to some fantasy football. You know, top performers last week, we saw quarterback Sam Darnold. Although he did not get the win, he put up 35.54 points. This is all coming off full-point PPR games, so it may differ from league to league. You know, he had two rushing touchdowns, and I believe he threw for maybe one or two. I can't remember, but he looked good. Patrick Mahomes, 32.72. You know, he just looked great against Philly. They were down for a little bit. Philly looked like they were able to win at one point. Ultimately, too much, and Patrick Mahomes showed out, which led to Tyreek Hill having the game of the season so far for him. Tyreek Hill had three touchdowns on the day, 47.6 points. And Deebo Samuel coming in second, 35.7 points on the day. You know, he had a great job against Seattle, caught two touchdowns, over 150 yards receiving. Great job so far in the season for Deebo. Been a real sleeper, really. And for running back, you know, this guy was a wide receiver his whole career. Comes to Atlanta, and they put him in the run game, and he's thriving. Cordell Patterson, 34.6 points on the day, three touchdowns. And then Saquon Barkley, 29.6 points and two touchdowns on the day. You know, he's not getting it done in the rushing game. 50 yards is not going to do it. I do think in order to be an elite running back, you got to be able to do it both. And he's been big in the passing game. That's where he gets most of his points. You're lucky that he's in the passing game, because if he could not catch the ball like Derrick Henry shown in his career, he would not be in – he'd be on your bench for fantasy football. And for tight end, we have CJ Uzama, 26 points and two touchdowns on the day. Great job. That was a Thursday night game, and he did great with Joe Burrow. He was the red zone guy there. And the second place was Dawson Knox, 20 points on the day, caught a touchdown. He had a great job in Buffalo. I mean, everyone did. It was Houston. But for this week, top performers of the week, I do think that we're in for a good week of fantasy. We could see a lot of high-scoring players. But ultimately, my number one quarterback on the week is going to be the little football baby, Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray's been on fire. The pass defense in San Fran has been a little suspect at time. I do think he could connect for multiple touchdowns. He may be able to run some in. He lit up San Fran multiple times last year too. This could be a big game for Kyler. Wide receiver of the week, I'm going with Davante Adams. He could have a breakout game against Cincinnati. They do not have a great – or they don't even have a good secondary, I'll say. You know, those DBs are in trouble. Devontae's looking for that breakout game. Yeah, he's had solid games all around, but none to where, like, wow, that's the wide receiver one right there. We saw that a lot last year. You may see that here today. And then running back, I said it earlier, Derrick Henry is going to light up Jacksonville. He lights them up every year. If you are playing him this week, I'm sorry. I don't know how you're going to win. You better hope the rest of the lineup that you're going against just does not do great at all. And then tight end, Travis Kelce. This is a tough one because, you know, the Bills have done a great job so far on defense. And then they got Darren Waller for second. And then Dalton Schultz could have a big game. We've seen him lead in the past. But I think Kelce, he has a good history against the Bills. He's caught multiple touchdowns before, five catches, I want to say 79 yards, his last game against him. He could be in for another great game. And honestly, there's another top performers. You know, we could see Josh Allen have a big game in a Kansas City shootout. And we could see Darren Waller have a big game. We've seen him bring in like 15 targets a game and 12 catches. That right there is 12 points. Add a couple touchdowns with that, you're set. And some players we should start should we be worried about right now? You know, a lot of these players, there's a list of players I got here that I'll name off, and I'll say, should we be worried about them right now? Are we overreacting or are we underreacting? First one on my list is Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook has not had a great start to the year. Dalvin Cook has an ankle sprain, and I believe Minnesota is downplaying it. He did not look good against Cleveland, although Cleveland does have a great run defense. But I don't think he's 100% healthy, and I do think if it lingers, you should be worried about him right now. Next one on the list I have is A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown suffering from a hamstring injury last week that kept him out. You know, he's coming off a knee injury too. Good thing it's not the knee, but it is not good that he's going out with another leg injury. We've seen him before have multiple leg injuries in his career. Is this a big deal, though? I don't think so. You know, I do think he's practiced on Thursday. Yeah, he's practiced on Thursday. I think he's 100%. I do think this is he's back, and I wouldn't worry about him right now. Could he get re-injured again? Yes, but you never know. And then Julio Jones, another wide receiver in Tennessee that's out with hamstring. Should you be worried about this one? Yes. Julio Jones missed weeks last year with a hamstring injury, and he's going to do it again. Do not go out and trade for him. If you have him right now, just trade him. Get whatever you can back for him. You might not be able to see him play for a while. I believe this is the same hamstring that he injured last year, and this is not good. He is deteriorating right in front of our eyes. Another player should we be worried about is George Kittle. You know, George Kittle coming into the year, he's not hurt or anything, but he has not looked good so far in fantasy. You know, he may miss this week with the calf. He is doubtful, but Jimmy G has not been able to connect with him a lot this year. The most yards he's had in games so far is 92 yards on 7 catches. For fantasy, for tight end, for someone who should be who is taken in second and third rounds and fourth, this is huge. I do think with him coming back, and depending on who's in there, you might see him get more targets. I don't know. I do think it's the way Kyle Shanahan's been scheming. You know, he is a great blocker, so he's been in the blocking game so far a lot more than other tight ends. Is it something you should be worried about? Maybe. Check back in a couple weeks. And then another player on the list, Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson has had a rough couple years in Chicago. So far on the season, he has 13 catches for 149 yards, one touchdown. For someone who they just franchise tagged to be the number one guy there, he has not looked good at all. And mostly because he is being doubled most games. He's the best wide receiver there. And, you know, he has Justin Fields throwing to him who can't even get the ball out most of the time. And when Andy Dalton's there, he's not really looking for him. You know, he's a deep threat guy, and they can't air the ball out because this offensive line can't hold up. If you have Allen Robinson on your team, trade him immediately. Try to get whatever you can out of him. I don't see him having a good rest of the year, and I would worry. Get him off your team right now. Another player on the list, Amari Cooper. Yes, Amari Cooper has looked good this year. He has the first game, I want to say, he had 13 catches. Yeah, 13 catches, 139 yards, 2 touchdowns. Week 2, 3 catches, 24 yards. Week 3, 3 catches, 26 yards. He's been banged up. They've said hamstring, ribs, and then Carolina, 3 catches, 69 yards, and a touchdown. I don't think it's something to worry about. I think he will be okay. You know, he's Dak's guy there. He's got 29 targets on the year. That's really good. I just think it's a matter of time before he gets going. You know, that they've linked up on big plays that either get called back or, honestly, the defense has just played really good. That deep ball is going to be there sometimes, and he's going to be a touchdown machine later on in the year, I believe. And another two that end off the list are DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. Tyler Lockett coming into fantasy, we knew that he could have a big season, and he started off with a great start. 4 catches, 100 yards, 2 touchdowns the first week. 8 catches, 178 yards, and 1 touchdown the second week. Then week 3, 4, 7 points, 4 catches, 31 yards. Fourth week, 4 catches, 24 yards. No, he hasn't had a touchdown since week 2 now. And if he's got Geno Smith thrown to him, I don't see him catching a lot of touchdowns. He may be non-existent in the red zone. They're not making it over to the red zone a lot. And for that, DK Metcalf too. You know, Metcalf was off to a slower start to the season. It's been a little bit more well-rounded compared to Tyler Lockett. You know, 4 catches, 60 yards, and a touchdown the first game. 6 catches, 53 yards, and no touchdown on that game. Week 3, 6 catches, 170 yards, or 107 yards and a touchdown. Week 4, 4 catches, 65 yards and a touchdown. And then this week, 5 catches, 98 yards, 2 touchdowns. You may see Geno Smith be, you know, he's a big target. And quarterbacks like big security targets. You may see Metcalf put up some points still. Will it be outstanding production? No. It's going to be some production. It's going to be okay. I wouldn't worry about Metcalf. I would be more worried about Lockett. And I wouldn't trade him this week. I would see how a couple weeks go, and then I'd be worried about it. And over in the baseball world, the AL wildcard game and the NL wildcard games are over. And we saw the AL wildcard Boston Red Sox host the New York Yankees Tuesday night, I want to say. And it was a, I don't want to say blowout, but it was a dominating win for the Red Sox. You know, they knocked off Cole early, and they ended up winning 6-2. They had 7 hits on the night, and they knocked them out after, they knocked out Cole after 2 innings. I believe he gave up multiple home runs. He gave up 1 home run in the first, one in the third to Schwarber. That right there is a 3-0 game. Yankees in the 6th would score a run from Anthony Rizzo, home run. And then in the 6th and 7th, Red Sox would answer. Verdugo doubled to right, bringing in Bogarts. And then Verdugo singles to center, bringing in Hernandez and Schwarber. Yankees would have Stanton hit a home run in the 9th, but ultimately it was too little. This Red Sox lineup is hot right now hitting, and they're going to need it if they want to win the series right now against Tampa. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But for the Yankees, man, Gerrit Cole, your best pitcher, you pay him all this money, and he doesn't even go 3 innings for you. That right there is not good. You're going to need to figure out something. If you can't get this guy going in the playoffs, goodbye. I would trade him, really. You brought him in there to bring a ring to the team, and 2 innings, 2 home runs is not going to do it, and 2 walks. Not good at all for Gerrit Cole that game. And then the NL wildcard game was a really good game. It was a pitching duel for the most part, with Scherzer and Wainwright. You know, both of them have had great careers so far. But walk-off home run in the 9th for the Dodgers. Taylor home run to left. Bellinger was on base to score. They win it 3-1. You know, Cardinals were up for most of this game. Or they were tied. This game was tied 1-1 for most of the game. You know, Justin Turner homered for the Dodgers to tie the game up. And then Edmund for St. Louis scored on a wild pitch. And ultimately, St. Louis could not get any hitting going against the Max Scherzer, the guy they brought in to do this, which this team could be scary. I'll go back, or we'll talk about a little bit later what their first game against the Giants looked like last night. But Max Scherzer, man, 4.1 innings, 3 hits, 1 ERA, four Ks, three base on balls. Not the best, but then they really, their bullpen did amazing for them. Their bullpen only let up two hits in about five innings. Great job by the Los Angeles Dodgers bullpen right there. St. Louis only five hits on the night. Dodgers seven hits on the night. So the full postseason bracket right now for the NL, it is Braves versus the Brewers, Dodgers versus the Giants, Red Sox versus Rays, and White Sox versus the Astros. I'll talk about the White Sox and Astros series right now. That one has looked dominant by the Astros right now. I mean, they are just clicking on both sides of the ball. They won the first game 6-1, 10 hits on the day. Altuve 2-for-4. Brantley 2-for-4, 2 RBIs. Bregman 1-for-4, 1 RBI. Alvarez 2-for-3, 2 RBIs and a walk. Correa 2-for-3. You know, this team, as much as we hate to say it because of what happened a couple years ago with the cheating scandal, this team could make another run for the World Series. It has looked like they cannot be stopped. And honestly, we expected it from the offense. The pitching, though, has looked amazing for Houston. You know, they lost Verlander last year, knew they weren't going to get him back, and they've done great so far. This has been a great job by Houston. They might sweep Chicago, and whoever wins Red Sox Rays will take them on. Speaking of Red Sox Rays, you know, this series, first game, Rays came out dominant. You know, they shut down the Red Sox hitting. Yeah, they gave up a lot of hits, but they're only base hits. That's okay when it's only base hits. And Randy Arozarena showed out for him. He had a home run the first game. He had a single that he came in off of a Wander Franco double. And then he steals home, which I don't agree with him stealing home when you're up 4-0. I do think that's a cocky look. And I do think it woke up the Red Sox right there. Randy Arozarena stole home in the bottom of the seventh on a 4-0 game. I don't remember the last time seeing that. I don't. I think it's very cocky on the Rays to do that. I do think they're going to regret it. Some game one stats, you know, Tampa scored 5. They shut out Boston and the score was 5-0. They only had 6 hits. They had a Wander Franco double bringing in Arozarena. Diaz reached on an infield single, which was an amazing effort right there. Franco scored on it. He slid into first, head first on a – it wasn't a bunt, but it was a in-betweener between third and the pitcher, and the ultimate effort led to another run. And then Nelson Cruz in the third hit a home run, but it hit the dome. So when it hit the dome, it landed in left field, so no one knew what to do. The umpires ultimately ruled it. Since it hit this part of the dome, it's labeled a home run based off projected distance and the height it had. Personally, I don't agree with this rule. I would have labeled a dead ball, putting him in a second base. It wouldn't matter, though. Red Sox would have lost 4-0. And then in the fifth, Arozarena, homered to left, no doubt, home run. And then he's still home in the seventh, 5-0 right there. Game two last night. Man, what a turn of events. Red Sox come out on this one. They look hot for hitting. They come out 2 runs, first inning. How do the Rays answer? They score 1 in the first, but they weren't done there. Luplo for the Rays ends up hitting a grand slam off Chris Sale, making the score 5-2. They ended up only scoring 1 more run on the night for the Rays. Red Sox, though, they scored 12 more on the night. They won this game 14-6 and put up 20 hits. Kiki Hernandez put on a show for hitting. 5 hits, 6 at-bats, 3 RBIs. one home run, couple doubles, and a single. Bogarts, home run. Verdugo, home run. Hernandez, like I said, home run. JD Martinez on a high ankle sprain hits a grand slam in a fifth to make it an 8-5 game to take the lead. Deep center, JD Martinez had well too, just without with the home run. He also had a he had four hits on the night. This man is going to be key. You know, he sat out first couple games with an ankle sprain. He is still not 100%, I will say that, but he is putting the ball in play, hitting a couple singles, and he's driving in runs. He's doing whatever he can for this team. And then the Red Sox, Vasquez would hit, Verdugo in, Devers, he did not have a great night to start. He cannot hit a high fastball to save his life right now. But ultimately, he hits a low changeup, I want to believe, sends it dead center, 425 feet. This Red Sox lineup is dangerous. If they are able to hit like this, I know the Rays pitcher did not. The starting pitcher is very young. I forget his name right now. Let me I want to say his name's – yeah, Shane Boss. I want to say this was his first career postseason start, they said. You know, he didn't look terrible. But McHugh gave up three runs. He was a losing pitcher. And for the Red Sox, you know, Chris Sale, they took him out after the first inning. They said, let's just do some damage control of these relievers. And Tanner Houck came in, pitched five innings, five Ks, and gave up one run. Houck has looked really good for Boston so far in the season. And I do think next year he will not see the bullpen, and you might see him as a starter. So game three is Sunday night now, and it looks like it's going to be Nathan Eovaldi versus Drew Rasmussen, and this game's in Boston. This we are in for a good game. I do think this is going to be a great series between some AL East rivals, and I think it could go either race so far. I don't think either team has pulled ahead. Red Sox changed the momentum last night. We are in for some good baseball. Over in the NL, Braves-Brewers was the first game yesterday for the NL, and it was a pitching duel, another pitching duel. The first run came in the seventh inning. It was a two-run home run from, let me look right here, Tellez, homer to center, 411 feet. You know, Corbin Burns, beautiful day pitching. I want to say he had six scoreless innings, two hits, no ERA, three walks, six Ks. And Charlie Morton, six innings, three hits, two runs, nine Ks. You know, he only gave up the home run. And ultimately, that's what – nine hits on the day between both teams. Another pitching duel for today? I don't know. Do I think the Braves can come back? Of course. I do think, you know, they got some hitters in this lineup, you know, with Okudia going down. They still have Freddie Freeman, brought in Soler, brought in Duvall, brought in Rosario. I do think, oh, and they also brought in Jock Peterson who pinch hit. I do think they're going to make it interesting. I don't think this one's going to be a sweep. They might be able to win today. And then the San Francisco Giants welcome the LA Dodgers last night, and it was a pretty good game. You know, both pitchers did extremely well. You know, Dodgers gave up a lot of the long ball, but Buehler, six innings, three ERA, five Ks. For the San Francisco Giants, Logan Webb went seven two-thirds in pitching, a zero ERA, and 10 Ks. This guy made his first career postseason start and did that. Hats off to Logan Webb. Great job to start out the postseason for the Giants. You know, Posey started off early. Homer to the right for a two-run home run. Old dog up to the same old trips. And then all the way in the seventh, Chris Bryant, home run to left, brought him in to bring in some power, and he does it. And then Brandon Crawford's going to join the home run party, make it a 4-0 game. Dodgers gave up the long ball, and they only had 5 hits on the night. This game two matchup is going to be interesting. You know, I do think we might be in for another pitching duel. It's Gausman versus Arias. I do think the Dodgers are going to win this one, but ultimately, I think we're in for a good series. It's going to be really good. That is all for today, folks. Thank you for joining me on this special episode of The Locker Room. I'm your host, Tommy Tallarino, and I wish you all a wonderful week. Check back in next week for another great episode of The Locker Room. Thank you, guys.